Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
The Bible tells us in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now, I want you to think about that word "walketh" to begin with. That's a directional word. It's going somewhere. It's following a similar path. And so my point is, don't go north with somebody who is a notorious enemy of the faith. Don't go in the same direction as doubters and demons and deceivers. Why follow a path to ruin with rebels? Why go in a direction that's going to leave you disappointed and discontented with the final result? I mean, if you follow the way of the wicked, you're going to end up at the dead end of eternity. And that's a place that is lost without God, and a place that has no reward for the wicked. And it's one of everlasting punishment. So just don't even go in that direction. And the common saying that we have, you know, we're talking about don't get on certain subjects, it's don't go there. Well, I'm encouraging you today, don't go there. Don't listen to the advice of somebody who doesn't read their Bible, they don't pray, they're not faithful to church, they're not submitted to a pastor. In fact, they make fun of anybody who is submitted to an authority because they want to have religious anarchy. They want to be spiritually independent, and they want it to be a process of democracy when it comes to things that take place in the altar. Well, that's just not the way it is. There has to be authority. There has to be a release of anointing, and that comes from a God that we submit to, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. And so I'm encouraging somebody today to avoid the pitfalls of the promiscuous and stay away from the hallways of rebellion, and don't follow the trends of the unsaved. There are patterns of the unbeliever that if you go according to those patterns, it's going to stitch together garments that are going to bind you. It's going to be like straitjackets. It's going to drive you crazy because you're not really going to gain what you think you're going to get out of it. In fact, Jesus tells us that there is a broad way that leads to destruction, but there is a gate that is straight, and narrow is the way that leads to life. So there's the way of the crowd. That's public opinion. That's human reasoning. That's sinful choosing. That's lawless avenues. And then there's the way of the cross, and that's obedience to the word of God. That's submission to the authority of God. That's living a happy life based on his holiness, not just based on the gleanings that one might find or get out of the world, or temporary successes, achievements, pleasures, sin. So you have to make up your mind today, I'm not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. The second one is, I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. Stand is to take a position. So not only is it important that we have directional faith, but we need to have positional obedience. I mean, you can't just stand for something that's a theory and it's against the truth of the Bible. The Bible tells us in Peter that we have a more sure word of prophecy. When we stand on the word of God, it is a firm foundation. That's why in Matthew 7, Jesus said, if a man hears these words and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he shall be like a foolish man which built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And the reason is because it was in the wrong position. Had nothing to do with the storm. Had nothing to do with the power of the wind. Had nothing to do with the strength of the tempest. It had to do with the lack of stability in the position. The foolish man was standing or living or dwelling or placing the residency of his faith in the wrong place. So don't just stand for something because that's where the crowd is. Don't just stand for something because that's what polling opinion is in favor of. Don't just stand for something because you're intimidated by your family or you're pressured by friends. You've got to stand for what is right. You've got to stand for the principles of truth. And then it's don't sit in the seat of the scornful. That has to do with keeping the right kind of company. Who am I having fellowship with? Who am I going to sit down and have a conversation with? And what is that conversation going to be about? Well, if it's with the scornful, they're eventually going to get cynical about spiritual things. They're going to mock certain manifestations of the Spirit. They're going to belittle things that I love, things that I live for. They'll call it legalism. They'll call it ritualism. They'll call it whatever they want to call it to make themselves feel better while they're laughing at it and scoffing at it and making fun of it. So, my friend, if you walk the wrong way and you stand for the wrong thing and you constantly sit in the wrong company, eventually these things are going to wear on you and break you down. They're going to tear at the very core of Christian character. They're going to replace humility with a sense of earthly haughtiness. They're going to take away your submission to the kingdom of God and fill it with a certain arrogance that you can depend on yourself or have a humanistic self-sufficiency. But God is reaching for those who will surrender to Him. It's like having a ship that's strong enough in its bulwarks and in the way that it is put together, that on the high seas, in the storms, in the hurricane, in the high waves, it's able to break through those waves and stay afloat. But if you've got something that's put together in a flimsy way, if you've got something that has been done with a certain cheap material, then it's going to break apart. It's not going to last. It's not going to endure. God wants you to have the durability of faith that's going to get you to the end. That's why Psalm 1 and 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." So think about it. It's a delight. It's not a drudgery. He's not just feeling like he's obligated to do something. Because listen, friend, when our relationship with God just becomes an obligated religion, the fun has gone out of it. And it's not that we even have to have fun in order to live for God. But when your yearning has been replaced with yawning, when the blessings of God in your life have suddenly led to boredom and you really don't even want to go to church and it's hit and miss because you're not as thrilled as you once used to be, you don't have your first love, you know, it's a difficult place to be. You don't have delight. You have dread. And this man who's blessed of God in Psalm 1, he delights in the Word of God, its commandments, its boundaries, its borders of promise to live within. It keeps him on the rails so that that gospel train makes it to the New Jerusalem destination. We've got to stay on that gospel ship, so to speak, no matter how stormy the seas get. We cannot commit mutiny now. We cannot abandon ship now. We've got to stay on board until we get to those celestial shores. And this is a time when people are walking away from truth for trivial pursuits. This is an hour when people are laying down the Bible for human theories and self-help books and New Age ideas. Why would you do that? Delight in the law of God. Verse 3 goes on to say, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now, folks, prosperity is not making even the best investments, monetarily speaking, on Wall Street. It's not just watching the markets and the Dow Jones and the bull markets or certain specific investments that you've made. It's in the kingdom of God. It's being in the right field and it's being in your place. Notice that when you look at that, it's his fruit in his field. Folks, you don't have to criticize somebody else's blessing because you think when you look at where you're at, it's nothing but dust and thorns and briars and bristle and weeds. If you'll just cultivate a relationship with God where you are, if you'll stay in the spiritual rooting that God has planted you in, you will have fruit. It's not might or maybe. The promises of the Bible are clear. They are direct. They are spiritual principles and universal laws. That seed is going to spring forth, and it will come out of your obedience. So you and I don't have to be jealous or envious of somebody else's success. God is going to help us if we maintain an humble and the right spirit and stay broken and contrite before Him. The field that we are in, where you're standing, your home is going to be blessed. Your business is going to be blessed. Your finances are going to be blessed. Your physical condition is going to be blessed because it's His fruit in His field. And prosperity is going to come because you're standing on the Word of God. Prosperity is going to come because you're going to have spiritual breakthroughs by doing it God's way and going the direction that He points us towards. I mean, think about it. It isn't just X that marks the spot. Most importantly, in the kingdom of God, it's the old rugged cross that marks the spot. And so when I'm wandering around in a world of confusion, trying to figure out where my breakthroughs are going to come through, I need that spiritual compass in me. I need that spiritual guidance in me. That's the Holy Ghost to get me back to the cross, to have that sense of spiritual true north, where blessings are based on obedience, not just on earthly options that may look good for a while, but when it comes out in the end, it's dross and dirty and ineffective. Even as I'm putting this message together, I get a notice on my phone from the Weather Channel about a popular road in China that collapses because of so much rainfall. It couldn't handle it. It didn't have the durability to sustain. And it collapsed. It had a breakdown. Folks, if we don't have righteous roads, if we don't have paths of truth, if we don't stay on the path of righteousness for His name's sake, we won't make it through the valleys of the shadow of death, because we do that by following Him. We won't make it down the broad ways that lead to destruction, because eventually that's what happens. The rains are going to pour. The storms are going to come. The tempest and the thunder is going to boom. And the floods, when they rise, just as Jesus said in Matthew 7, and as I mentioned earlier in this message, it's not going to stand. Great is the fall of it. And then what happens? You can't get to where you're trying to go to. The access to certain areas is cut off. Now they're probably going to have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to rebuild this road, and that's when they can get to it. My friend, what rebuilding project is taking place in your life right now because of things that have had a breakdown spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, religiously, because you didn't keep them built on the principles of truth? I'm telling you, friend, if you'll do it God's way, you're going to have a breakthrough. If you do it according to the will of God, you're going to come to prosperity. And I don't just mean money. That's what we think of, because we've got bills to pay and we've got needs. And sometimes we'd like to get a little bit better car and a little bit bigger home for our family. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about even spiritual breakthroughs. What are you carrying around today that's a burden of shame? What are you living with that has been a source of anguish for you? What are you putting up with that's been a thorn in your flesh, and you haven't been able to walk for God or live for God like you really want to, because you're always troubled and tormented about the same things? But I'm telling you, if you'll continue to walk with the Lord, stay on that path, keep a pace of obedience to truth, God will see you through. He's gonna get you there. You're going to make it to the destination. And so think about it again. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, Psalm 1 and 3. And then it says, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now think about that for a moment. It couldn't survive the wind test. And I'm not talking about winds of revival. I'm talking about winds of trouble, because they're going to blow. And when these farmers would go to the threshing floor, when they would begin to have the winnowing process with those giant pitchforks. They would throw the stalks up into the air, and whatever wasn't seed, whatever wasn't grain, if it was just chaff, if it was just loose, if it wasn't solid, if it didn't have strength in it, content or character in it, if you will, it was going to blow away in the wind. So it didn't survive the wind test. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians that we cannot be carried about by every wind of doctrine. So it's not just the winds of trouble, it's the winds of false doctrine. When you get somebody that's not anchored to truth, something will come along that will attack that vulnerability in the church. It'll be a heresy. It'll be a demonic hearsay. And all of a sudden, they have disappeared, and they're following after some new methodology. They're following after some new sensational theological theory. They're going after fables because they've turned their hearing away from God. They're now believing in some mythical thing, and they actually believe it's true because somebody twisted the scripture. And that's why it's chaff. They are blown away by the troubles of this hour. They're not able to stay rooted in the truth and planted in the church of the living God. And so in Ezekiel 13, the Lord is confronting the hypocrisy of Israel and their idolatry. And he says, because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which dab it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. So here they built this defective wall, and somebody came along and whitewashed it to make it look good, like a glorified facade. But at the first sign of rain and trouble, it collapses. It breaks down. You need a faith that doesn't break down. So you got to get rid of the stuff that's defective. Pride is defective. Lust of the eyes is defective. Lust of the flesh is defective. Trying to be a friend of the world more than have a relationship with God is defective. Walking a path that is doing it your way according to pride and rebellion, or going back to a spirit that's in the children of disobedience, that's defective. It's not going to stand. It's not going to last. And you can cover it over and call yourself a Christian all day long, but if the content's not there, if the character of Christ is not in us, if we don't have that true intimate relationship that's with the Lord, it's not going to stand. Just a few days ago, I was reading how in San Diego in the early 90s, the city council came together and began to examine what they called unreinforced masonry. And so the idea was, these were buildings that looked good on the outside, but if certain magnitude earthquakes took place, they were not going to be able to stand. In fact, many had already fallen. So they had to go back and retrofit and do reconstruction and bring better masonry in to reinforce these buildings so that they could withstand stronger earthquakes on the Richter scale. So it is in the spirit. There are things that can look good, and we can say, well, that's an okay shelter. We can live in that building. We can withstand certain things. But ladies and gentlemen, God has given us a faith to withstand all things. That's why the word says in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Refuge is the shelter. Fortress is the mountain stronghold. The difference is, if you just have a shelter, it might be shelter enough, like an umbrella, that if it's just gently raining, it's okay. It can cover you. It can shield you. It can shelter you. But if it's wind gusts of 50 and 60 miles an hour, if it's tornadic weather, if it's hail that's following from the turbulent skies, then you better have more than an umbrella. You better have a stronghold. You better have a true shelter that can withstand strong storms. And that's the difference between the believer that's going to have a breakthrough and the unbeliever that's going to break down. And in this generation, where the lines are being drawn, where there's great contrast between doing it God's way and doing it according to the world, it's going to become even more intensified, and the gap is even going to be wider. And I pray that somebody listening to this today will get founded on the Word of God, will have an Acts 2:38 experience, will repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, be born again of the water and of the Spirit, have a relationship with God, let Jesus take over, so that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so we've established that the ungodly are not so. And so verse 5 of chapter 1, Psalm 1 says that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Don't get on the road to ruin. Turn around, make a U-turn, head in the opposite direction. If you've opposed the Word of God, be in harmony with His holiness. Get in alignment with the Almighty God. The Bible said Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. That's because that whenever God corrected something in him, he got his will in alignment with the will of God. He sacrificed his own human reasoning or whatever looked like his way to do it. Then even after he made certain mistakes trying to do it according to his own perspective, he always submitted to the will of God. This is why 2 Timothy 4:3 warns us, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Heap to themselves. That's like trash. That's like collecting garbage and acting like you found some kind of treasure. And it's because they refuse the things that are stable. A double-minded man, James said, is unstable in all his ways. He believes one thing one day and something else the next. His opinion shifts like the wind. It might blow north today and south tomorrow, east the next day and west next week. You just never know where they're going to be and what they're going to believe. But to the faithful, to the called, to the chosen, to those that stay rooted in the Word of God, that understand that this is not the time to walk away from the precious truths, that we've got to buy the truth and sell it not, that we've got to stay in the church of the living God no matter what confronts us, no matter what comes against us, no matter what tide of this world begins to try to bring its waves into us. In this tolerance culture, in this compromising, corrupting generation, we've got to stay on the pure, unadulterated Word of God. Also, one of the reasons why in Matthew 24 that the Lord prophesied that in the last days men's hearts would fail them for fear of what is to come. They would be so caught up in the bad news and the negative reports, in the disturbing images, in the things that are falling apart, in the chaos of society, in plagues and natural disasters, and in famine and wars and rumors of wars, that they actually would get so stressed out. That's basically describing not just cardiac arrest or heart attacks, but nervous breakdowns. So the question is, breakdown or breakthrough? God gives us overcoming power. That's why the book of Revelation describes the children of God in the last days as having an overcoming faith because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. It's a testimony that's endured trouble. It's a testimony that has come out like gold and silver and bronze from the fires of tribulation. And no matter what takes place, they're going to stay loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to stay faithful to the call of God. They're going to stay in the right position. They're going to go in the right direction. And they're going to sit with the right company. They're going to fellowship with the right things, the right people. They're going to drink from the right cups, not the cup of devils, but as disciples of the Lord. They're going to make sure that they maintain a purity, staying clean through the Word of God that has been spoken unto us, because we are too close to the coming of the Lord. I believe the trumpet of the Lord is about to sound at any moment. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. So make sure you've had your gospel change before that trumpet takes us to our everlasting change. My friend, it's going to be worth it all. if you'll just keep going with the Lord, someday soon we're going to have that final breakthrough into that everlasting city of hope in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.